Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Here we go. Jake and Josh are here to analyze the game they love for the team they love.
This is another Dolphins podcast.
Here's your host, Jake Mendel and Josh House.
The Miami Dolphins parted ways with Danny Crossman and Wes Welker. And Josh, I don't want to like say like I predicted this or because I definitely didn't. But I think in that podcast, I even said something along the lines of like the Dolphins announced McDaniel is safe and it's kind of relaxing that they're going to take some time and really evaluate this coaching staff. I wouldn't be surprised if it takes a little time before they announce any moves. And lo and behold, here we have it. So, Josh, Danny Crossman, let's start with him. Special teams coordinator is gone. Mike McDaniel had this to say: "I'm grateful for Danny's contributions and dedication to the Dolphins over the course of many seasons, as well as the numerous ways he helped me as a coach." Josh, not a surprising move by the Dolphins here, but now that it's happened, how do you feel?
Yeah, I'm not surprised. I'm glad it happened. I kind of was hoping that he'd be that, you know, lack of a better word, scapegoat in the middle of the year where maybe the team could rally behind a move and you could see Mike McDaniel showing some kahunas and maybe he gets a hold of that locker room. But that never happened. So, I mean, we all foresaw this thing happening. I guess the one thing I didn't realize was he said, you know, how he helped him as a head coach. I mean, how long has Danny Crossman been in the NFL where you look at, you know, maybe Mike McDaniel's staff and he was that veteran voice that, you know, was always in his ear, could always help him along. And maybe that's why this dude could stick around so long. So not sad at all to see him go. I think we joked that maybe Darren Rizzi would be that guy. I don't know if there's even any potential there for him to, you know, slip in and become our savior on special teams, but anyone, I'm willing to accept anyone over what we saw with Danny Crossman. So good riddance, Danny Crossman. What are your thoughts, Jake? Anything else you want to add? I can't believe we saw Tyreek Hill. What was it? Was it the last game of the year? When was he back there returning kicks? Like, oh, hey, now we're going to try it. You could just went and auto reordered the depth chart in Madden and he would have been back there, but this dude,
bro, the amount of podcasts we did, oh, the Dolphins have so much speed and they know how to break this kickoff rule. And all they did, 25-yard line every single time. And you had to fall butt backwards into Malik Washington because we were cool with just seeing Braxton Berrios wave at us for 17 weeks after all of last season. Josh, I'm really glad you brought up the head coach part because that got my hamster wheel really going here. I'm like, head coaching. Well, he's been Miami's special teams coordinator since 2019. He's been the special teams coordinator for a handful of other teams too. Panthers, Bills. There was a third one and it's here somewhere. Lions, excuse me. So I forgot this. Crossman was actually promoted to the team's assistant head coach in 2021 under Brian Flores, his final season when everything kind of fell apart and we're talking about how Brian Flores can't work with people. And I got to thinking, why on earth did this guy get named assistant head coach? What on earth was happening? Why did we approve of this? Because, I mean, Danny Crossman. We're just sick of him. So kicker Jason Sanders had won 4 AFC Special Teams Player of the Week honors, 3 Special Teams Player of the Month honors, and earned first team All-Pro selection in 2020. On top of that, Jakeem Grant finished second in NFL punt, excuse me, second in the NFL in punt return yards, and The Dolphins won the NFL's 2019 Bridgestone Clutch Performance Play of the Year when punter Matt Hawk threw a one-yard touchdown pass to Jason Sanders in a win over Philadelphia. This is someone who had 15 years of experience as a coordinator, Josh, and my question is simple. What happened? Like, there was Matt Hawk throwing touchdown passes. Like, the special teams was like, when you look at that 2019 and the 2020 Dolphins and why they're winning games, like, everyone loves to go, like, Tua at quarterback, like, winning. Like, the Dolphins were a well-rounded team, and I have a hard time believing that, but the numbers speak for themselves. They were solid on special teams. They were getting yards in special teams, especially with people like Jakeem Grant. You were making all your kicks, and shout out Jason Sanders, I think two Player of the Month honors this year. But this, I think, man, just is one small spark note in the big picture of the Dolphins have just struggled to be a complete football team because they had success with this guy. He was great with Flores was here. What happened?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'm glad you brought that up because I'm sitting there now, my hamster wheel's going, and I'm like, what did happen? Why is Mike McDaniel, you know, that coach that came in and kind of, you know, maybe, you know, became less aggressive in situations like that? Have we ever seen it? I don't know what we've seen on Mike McDaniel, but he is definitely not emptying the bag of tricks that they had. And like you said, man, I still remember Matt Hawk throwing that pass to Sanders, just the creativity they had. And it just seemed like the special teams at that time, I think they were doing other things as well. I mean, it just seemed like you said that he was, you know, a different Danny Crossman at the time. So I don't know what changed. You mentioned all the different accolades for Jason Sanders. Do you think maybe his work with him, you know, maybe getting his mind right, seeing how he's pretty much one of the most, isn't he like the most efficient kicker in Dolphins history? I mean, maybe seeing stuff like that, all the different punters that he's had to work with, maybe that's what they like. But whatever the fall off from Danny Crossman back when he was doing crazy trick plays to now, I'd like to see that study as well.
I wonder, man, and like, I know nothing. I think I should say that as a disclaimer at the start of every podcast. But like, this team is so centered around the offense, right? Like we have Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, and we're going to put up all these points. And, you know, last year we're leading the league in yards per rush. You wonder if maybe, is there a scenario where Mike McDaniel maybe tried to keep things barebone? Because you're doing these trick plays when you're 1-6, your back's against the wall, and you really are just kind of fighting for your lives. Like, is that, I think that might be part of the issue with the Dolphins. And I want to talk about that more with Wes Welker, where it's like, you're just kind of trying to play for the next play instead of like, we got to be out there with a level of urgency. And that's something I think we talked a lot about during when Tua was gone. Like, Tua was the urgency for this offense when he came back. But when he wasn't there, man, like, for a complete team, you just lacked that fire.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Mix and match 1 pound strawberries or 6 ounce blueberries, raspberries, or blackberries for $2.99 each when you buy three. Take advantage of this exclusive digital deal. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, $3.97 per pound, limit one package. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Your power, it seemed like.
It really did. I don't know. Were you surprised by the Wes Welker? I mean, it kind of seemed like, you know, once the dominoes start to fall, I know some people are saying, you know, you really haven't seen a receiver step up. You saw Tyreek Hill step back this year, things like that. I would just want to know what the situation was, the relationship in that room, right? What's Tyreek Hill, you know, if he's showing up late, what's Wes Welker doing? Is he in his ear chirping him out, or is he, you know, dapping him up? Let's keep going. We're friends, buddy, buddy type thing. So, intrigued to see who comes up in that place. But those are two moves that Danny Crosson and Wes Welker, you need to see more out of both those units. Even the wide receivers, when you have those big names like a Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill, it wasn't until late in the year we saw Malik Washington flourish, where it was the first guy that stepped up where you're like, okay, we're seeing some promise out of one of these guys. I mean, Eric Ezekama's been locked in a box since he's been drafted.
I also want to thank Wes for his investment here, McDaniel said in that release. This was not a decision I came to lately, but as I've evaluated the season and areas where we must improve, I believe that change is needed and am motivated to do what is best for the team as we move forward. Josh, I didn't listen to it, but I saw people tweeting about the Joe Rose show, and Joe was giving some insight along the lines of Wes was kind of an old head. He was a hard ass. And that got me thinking, like, was he fired because he was a hard ass? And then I think about Mike McDaniel's quotes where he's saying, like, you know, I could find people till I'm blue in the face. I can yell. Like, there was indications where Mike McDaniel was saying, like, I was trying to be like a hard ass coach. So what's happening here? Danny Crossman, I think, is another guy who fits that hard ass mold. Is this like, again, I'm super assuming here. This is the offseason, man. This is all we have time to do. Is Mike McDaniel leaning more into being like buddy-buddy? Like, if we're talking about how often we find people and it didn't work and you're screaming at people and it didn't work, and we thought this was a player's coach, like a buddy-buddy, just like a nerdy, goofy pal. Like, if he's coming out and saying, man, I tried all these things, and then you fire two guys that based on their history, and I mean, man, you listen to one Crossman interview, that dude sounds angry all the freaking time. Is this Miami, like, Mike McDaniel's desperate last attempt? Is he just going to crawl back, like, hands and knees, please, guys, play for me? Is that how this is unfolding? Like, what do you think?
Yeah, it might be. And I like the way you said it, man. Before every pod, we should come on here and say, we don't know anything. We really don't know anything. But when you think about Mike McDaniel, his coaching style, and now, you know, you mentioned it, Wes Welker. If it's true that he was a hard ass, I mean, that could absolutely be why. You know, it's Wes Welker or Tyreek Hill. You know, we got to mend defenses. Or even still, you're a head coach and you got your assistants going out there chewing players out, maybe doing what you should be doing as a head coach. I don't know how that looks either. So there's a lot of theories, conspiracy theories we can come up with. But I am very intrigued to hear more of this because there was definitely something there, right? They had Odell Beckham Jr., Tyreek Hill, two older guys. If they butt heads with Wes Welker, what happened there? What was the relationship with Mike McDaniel as well? I mean, there's just so much, and it just seems like we're sitting here talking about a almost like a soap opera, right? I mean, I guess that is what football is, though, but this just seems like you bring a Tyreek Hill in, you bring Odell Beckham Jr. in that soap opera, you know, then it becomes a little bit more of a little bit more crazy.
I think it's... People saw this as like a scapegoat. I don't know if I'd go
try to make that joke. I try to make that joke.
Wes Welker is such a name, right? Super Bowl champion, started in Miami, stud in with the Patriots, stud in Denver. Like, and you just look at like Malik Washington steps in and does awesome, but you also have Odell Beckham Jr. You have Eric Ezekama, who was Miami's first offensive draft pick of the Mike McDaniel era, strangely enough, in the fourth round of the 2020 draft. No development there. You had guys like Chase Claypool, Robbie Chosen. Sorry to be throwing shots at you here, Josh, but like, I don't know if it's just like a scapegoat when like that development hasn't been there. And we have so many scenarios where guys aren't running the right routes. And it just confuses me if we have Tyreek Hill saying, like, I didn't practice hard enough, and that's why I dropped these balls, and then he comes back and has a good game, and it's like, see, this is what happens when I practice. What is getting rid of the... How are you going to make him practice more if you got rid of the hard ass?
Yeah, bringing another hard ass, I guess. But I think most of the people are assuming they're going to, like, hire within offensive assistant. Max McCaffrey is the name that's going around, Christian McCaffrey's brother. But, yeah, if you get rid of a guy that, you know, is the hard ass, who's going to be that... the authority figure. I mean, I don't know. That's what you hope that you can finally see from Mike McDaniel, you know, him kind of take over control of this thing. But I don't know, man, seems like things are just spiraling out of control. And you mentioned the Eric Ezekama thing. A lot of people are saying, you know, his development, maybe there was something there, but he did come out then, and it's social media, right? You're going to go out there and thank your a former coordinator, coach or whatever, but it didn't seem like there was any animosity there. So I don't know, man. I don't think it's a scapegoat thing. I don't think that anybody can see or truly say what Wes Welker was in charge of as far as the receivers, right? You know, is he at fault for Tyreek Hill missing those routes? Is it Tyreek Hill's fault for not getting, like, I don't know, but I'm okay with him going. Intrigued to see who steps up in his absence, and intrigued to see where Wes Welker goes, right? You mentioned him, man. He's a name. He's that big figure. Probably going to end up in New England, but wish him all the best.